So you look at the bulletin this morning, and you see we did the morning prayer, and now we're going to do another song. No, we're not going to do another song. We are not going to read the scripture again because you've heard it so many times, okay? And, well, the video, that's on me, okay? So let's go to the message, all right? It seems like we've been talking about Psalm 143 forever, at least since the beginning of the year. And so we come back to it one more time today. Psalm 143 speaks to us and about how we might feel just as David felt so long ago when he found himself with his back against the wall. David found himself cornered, and although we don't or are not told about what circumstance that made him feel like he was in a corner or being confined in a space, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it makes it a little easier for us to think about some of our own instances, maybe instances that you are going through right now, and apply the principles of Psalm 143 to your own life. The psalm really is compact or put together and comprised of two parts. The first part is really the process, and the second part is a series of prayers that help us get led through the struggle and to free ourselves up to move on, to get ourselves back from against the wall and pivoting towards a more open life. Psalms, as I said, the Psalm 143 is composed of two parts. The first part is process, and then the second part is what we do after we get our hearts settled. We said before we didn't know the situation that David found himself in. So listen carefully as I read this morning for you the first three verses again. And see how David is kind of putting his heart out there as he's also being pushed against a wall. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me, because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put me, O God, on trial, for now no one is innocent before you. Lord, my enemies are chasing me. They knock me to the ground and they force me to live in a grave. Listen to the weight of this last sentence as he says, I am losing my hope. I'm paralyzed with fear. Now, I don't know if I did that any good, but hopefully you heard a little struggle there, a heaviness of heart as he's pushing against the wall behind him. Can you feel the struggleness and the emptiness and the heaviness of his heart? I'm losing hope. I'm paralyzed by fear. Have you ever had one of those moments? Two of those moments, three of those moments, thousands of those moments. What do I do, God? I'm stuck here. Any of you here today that are feeling that way right now, I want to tell you something. It is okay to not be what? Okay. We all come in here, we all carry our heaviness of heart, we're all at times kind of struggling. It's okay to come in here and say, I might be exhausted, I might be busted up, my life is a mess, but it is okay to not be okay. Whether the result, whatever you're sitting in this morning is the result of your own mistakes or somebody else's, it's okay. Quit shaming yourself. Guess what? We knew and we know you're not perfect. Neither are we. And if you're hurting this morning, take David's invitation to find strength and direction in the Psalms. We have seen what happens when we get pushed against the wall and we can't or don't pivot out. It's kind of like watching an animal get put in a cage and the door slammed behind it. Have you ever seen an animal caged? Usually they don't like it, and they will do whatever they can. You know, people are a lot like other animals. Sometimes we get ourselves, our backs pushed against the wall. Maybe you have seen, in fact, maybe you have said some of these things once you find yourself with your back against the wall. Things that you find out or you look back on and they become some of the most regrettable things that you have ever said. Well, look at this over here. I thought you said you were going to be like this and you're like that. Oh, that person makes me so mad. Oh, no, I don't know where to turn because the doctors told me this. I can't believe she'd do that to me. She told me I had 2 more weeks. And now the attorney's calling me and saying they have to have it. What David is saying in Psalm 143 is it is okay to not be okay, and there is actually another way forward. Another way that will help us reorient our hearts on God. And by the way, it is God's way, and it is the best way. See, we all know the fallout of our freakouts. When we freeze out people, when our own fight or flight attitude kicks in. But you know what? As the Church of Jesus Christ, as the church in America, we as the church can see the fallout of our faithfulness and what it can bring when we choose to respond to these principles that David has laid out. You see, we've been going over and over all this because we know God wants to lead us in a new way, so that we can find our footing and move forward. David models the 4 steps, the process of addressing our hearts before we move our feet. It really can save and change our lives. David said in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works. I think about what you have done, and I lift my hands to you in prayer. For I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. This little process, it can take a few minutes, it can take days, it can take months, but in it, it is transformational because God is moving through it and through us. We move beyond freaking out to faithfulness. We are going from having our backs against the wall to starting to remember what God has done in the past. Some of you have even recently been to some places out in on the west side of the country. Seen the Grand Canyon? Any of you? Many years ago. Niagara Falls. What was some nice place that you went to in Alaska that was breathtaking, Gary? A Sitka. Okay. Does anybody know what a Sitka is?
It's a city called Sitka.
Sitka. Okay. Very good. You know about that. Okay. You can look around the world and see the vastness of what God has done in creation. And you can meditate on that. You know, you look and you see with all that's going on in the Middle East, some of the beautiful old landmarks that are still there. God's hand was in that. We remember the greatness of what he has done. And then we ponder it. You know, I wondered how God did that. Now I see his hand over time and over creation. You know, I don't get to see a clear sky at night very often, but there's been a couple in the last week. You realize how many stars are out there that you can see? That's all God at work over the millennia. As I reflect on that, and reflect on his bigness and greatness, all of a sudden my problems seem pretty small when I realize what they are going up against in what God has done. And then I'll take a little time and I'll think about people. I'll think about what God has done in my own life or maybe in somebody else's life. And I'll keep thinking, he's delivered again and again and again. And then as I meditate on that, I begin to realize God's greatness and I can worship him for what he has done over the millennia, and as small and as simple as in my life. David models this four-step process. He says, I remember the days of old. I ponder your great works. I think about what you've done, and I lift my hands, which is really describing a sense of not just prayer, but worship. I worship God for what he's done and how great he is. And that process can transform us. Something happens. But it's not necessarily going to change the circumstance. as much as it's going to change me and you, as you look at what this God has done. It stops me from saying, God, get me out of this, to Lord, thank you for being with me or with us in the midst of our fallouts and freakouts, and beginning to understand God's grace even in this place. It's easy to think this process to remember and ponder is only for big events. I got to buy a car, and I got to worry about all these things. Can I afford it? How much is it going to cost? You know, is it going to run? I wonder what the doctor's going to say when I go in that office and they said, well, this is the test. Doesn't look good. It's those big things, but you realize you can do this in everyday life. You ever get a phone call or have a meeting and right before it happens you think, oh, I shouldn't take this meeting. I shouldn't take this phone call. And then you go and you do it. And it doesn't get very far into the phone call and you realize I was right. I shouldn't have taken this call. And all of a sudden somebody says something that triggers something in the other person and it starts to go back and forth and back and forth. And you just get so mad at the person on the other side of the phone. And the whole thing starts to blow up, and you say something, and they say something, and it's just all wrong. And at the end, when you hang up the phone, I'm working here. I didn't know who yawned, but I'm working as fast as I can to get you out, okay? Finally ends. It just went all wrong. Finally it ends. I'm hurt. I want to fight. And yet I just want to run away. And then I think about it. It's all over a stupid phone call. I think I'm going to go clear my mind. I go home. Do you know when I sit down to write a sermon, I find it very, very, very difficult to write when I'm angry? And then you can start to apply this little process into your little life and even into your smaller situation. You remember, God, you always love me, even little me. You love me when I'm wrong. Many times I'll ponder the many ways you lay out your love for me when I am wrong, which is quite often. Then I start to calm myself down and I become thankful, Lord, for your grace and mercy in my life. And I start to realize how much I love you and how much you love me. And the fact that you give me grace when I don't deserve it. And as we begin to access that relationship with God, not based on my merit, but on his grace, I sit there and I begin to worship. I realize this exercise isn't just for the big things, but for the small things as well. for the big things like that phone call that I get from the doctor or from the attorney or the little things like the phone call I got in the middle of the day. Over a stupid little phone call that allowed me to get all blown up and upset. You realize it's not an exercise anymore just for our big, difficult challenges in life, but it is a principle to apply every day. The first part, the long part, the process part, we've been looking at, but there's also an application part. We have been looking at that first part an awful lot, but the application part also reminds us that David offered prayer as he worked through this process and as he began to find his feet to move forward. There was a prayer of desperation. There were prayers offered for help. But how do we hear the voice of God once we've gone through the process and decide to move our feet forward? Today, quickly, two prayers that David asked, one for guidance and one for deliverance. We've been talking about how we settle our hearts with God. But I want to talk to you this morning about how do we get direction moving forward. Show me where to walk, O God. I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies. I run to you to hide me. Basically, show me, God, where and how I move forward. I want to get this right, so show me. Show me. So I can do it well moving forward. Just show me, God. When the doctor gives you that deadline, when the attorney is calling and saying, I'm waiting for your response, when your kids are looking at you saying, Dad, what do we do next? How do we know God is calling us? And where does he want us to go? First response is, God, remember. Remember that God is God. We can't force our way, and he won't be moved any quicker than time allows. I can give you some direction, though, in how we hear God. We remember the words of Jeremiah, who said, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Sometimes we can think we're hearing God, but we're missing him. I can give you some direction, though, about how God speaks and how we can listen. I can think of more than once in my life where I've wanted to have something. And I thought if I asked something or did something, it would just come to me. Instead, I asked or I stepped out to do something and I got embarrassed because I wasn't asking God, I was acting on my own greed. How many times have we had a thought, a desire, a relationship, an idea on how to use money, a joke we considered telling, or entertainment that we might have thought was questionable? We need to check and see, are our hearts really in line with what God is doing? And are we really allowing God's word to serve as a plumb line for moving forward? Second thing, we need to look around at the people around us and begin to decide, who is our wise counsel? Do we need to find wise counsel? And then to take opportunities to sit down and glean from them. We have to recognize who wise counsel is. Go and seek their advice. And then be open to the direction they give. And finally, we need to realize, we need to stop. We need to stop. We need to stop and hear the echoes of God's voice. I think about it, how many times do we get up? We start with our phones and our computers and our radios, and we keep going all day until we're ready to fall into bed at night. Never really listening to what God is trying to say. Margaret Feinberg wrote a book entitled Secret Echoes. She writes, God rarely speaks in the booming. But if we slow down and silence our hearts, we will hear the echoes in the caverns of our souls. A phrase here, a prompt here, a song lyric on the radio, an invitation from a friend. All echoes of God saying to us, this is the way to go. That's the way to go. She writes, God is speaking, but we have to be quiet enough. We have to slow down enough to hear him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, allow us to hear your voice, to stop, to consider what you've done, to ponder your great acts, to think about, Lord, our own lives and the lives of others that we see you at work, and then to meditate, and to give you glory for all that you've done. Help us, Lord, to know when it's appropriate to seek wise counsel. And then, Lord, to listen. And help us, Lord, to always be more careful, to slow down, and to hear you through other people, through your word, through everyday life, where you call out to us. In Jesus' name.